Okay, so we've arrived to our final sin, pride.
The kind of pride that really bothers me is just smug superiority, you know? People eager to show you what they know and not caring about the feelings of anyone around them. That really gets to me.
This is a man who is well acquainted with both humility and that deadly sin, pride.
I'm Ken Jennings. I'm a former Jeopardy champion.
Okay, Ken is being modest because he is the Jeopardy champion. He won 74 times in a row, more than anyone else ever.
Ken.
Who is Aristophanes?
Ken.
What's the Trojan horse?
Ken.
Who is Jean Lafitte?
Ken.
What's the dodo?
Ken.
What is Stella?
Ladies and gentlemen, Ken Jennings.
As a game show obsessed kid, if you had told me that I was one day going to be marginally famous for being a Jeopardy contestant, like, to me that would have been better than winning the Cy Young or something. That was my dream.
So Ken had accomplished his dream. But a few years later, this is in 2009, he got a call from Jeopardy again. The show was partnering with IBM, which was working on a supercomputer that could play Jeopardy. They were calling it Watson. And they wanted Ken to compete against Watson, which is where pride entered the picture. Ken picks up the story in his TED Talk.
I was pretty confident that I was going to win. I had taken some artificial intelligence classes. I knew there were no computers that could do what you need to do to win on Jeopardy. People don't realize how tough it is to write that kind of program that can read a Jeopardy clue in a natural language like English and understand all the double meanings, the puns, the red herrings, unpack just the meaning of the clue, the kind of thing that a 3 or 4 year old human, a little kid could do, very hard for a computer. And I thought, well, this is just, you know, this is going to be child's play. Yes, I will come destroy the computer and defend my species.
So you're thinking good thoughts. It's probably going to be a chance to say, okay, well, maybe you guys ought to go back to the drawing board and keep working at it.
Yeah, I mean, how great would that be to have IBM pour millions of dollars into this new technology and then just to, like, humiliate it on national TV in primetime? That sounds great.
This is Jeopardy! The IBM Challenge.
Okay, so I hope this is not a spoiler, but Ken?
Let's play Jeopardy. Here we go.
Got creamed.
Watson.
What is violin?
Good. Watson.
What is leprosy?
You are right. Watson.
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 What is who is?
You are right. You got it. Dengue fever. Correct. Daily double. Go again, Watson.
I remember trying to buzz in.
This from the Latin for despise.
And Watson just beating me every time.
Watson.
What is contempt?
Correct.
With its evil little calculating robotic thumb.
Watson retains control of the board. Watson again. Now to our leader, Watson.
Answer.
The other daily double. Ken.
What is A?
No.
So it was really just a crushingly lopsided score.
And a two-day total of 77,147. And that means, ladies and gentlemen, that world is...
And I remember standing there behind that podium, and I remember thinking, you know, this is it. I felt obsolete. I felt like a Detroit factory worker of the 80s seeing a robot that could now do his job on the assembly line. I felt like quiz show contestant was now the first job that had become obsolete under this new regime of thinking computers. And it was freaking demoralizing. It was terrible. Here's the one thing that I was ever good at, and all it took was IBM pouring tens of millions of dollars and its smartest people and thousands of processors working in parallel, and they could do the same thing. They could do it a little bit faster and a little better on national TV, and I'm sorry, Ken, we don't need you anymore. And I was just thinking, this is how everyone else felt playing me, you know? This is a taste of my own medicine. This is instant karma, and I totally deserve every second of this. There's your literary story of hubris brought low.
Yeah. Why do you think it's fun to watch that happen?
I think it's because it's so satisfying to see the idea of these proud people get their comeuppance, you know?
Yeah.
And then the audience is like, yeah, this is so cathartic. Like, if only this would happen to my boss. So I'm sure it's just millennia old, this idea that... Do we love to see smug people get what's coming to them?
So at the end of the day, I mean, do you feel like pride should be considered one of the deadly sins?
You know, I do feel like pride leads to a lot of problems. You know, pride leads to a lot of crap. It leads to the wrong people seeking public office or getting rich or whatever it is. But on the other hand, you know, there's things you should legitimately feel proud about, you know, like when I went to see my kid's Christmas concert and he played really well and I was very proud of him, you know, I can't apologize for
like
that.
Like when you won Jeopardy 74 times in a row.
It's a lifelong dream, you know, how can I say, yeah, I guess I'm sort of proud of having been on Jeopardy for 6 months. I mean, without pride, would we ever have like gone to the moon, you know?
Exactly.
That's JFK being like, you know, we choose to go to the moon and do other things, you know, because they are hard, you know. That's him saying, think how awesome America's going to be after we've walked on the mother effing moon, you know.
Yeah.
Man's reach must exceed his grasp, or what is heaven for? You know, that's where the great human achievements come from. Somebody thinking big.
Ken Jennings, Jeopardy champion and humble man. You can see his entire talk at TED.com. So, at the beginning of the show, we mentioned this conspiracy theory that a lot of popular TV and film characters are based on the seven deadly sins, including the ones from Gilligan's Island. Well, here's a scene from the 1978 made-for-TV movie called Rescue from Gilligan's Island. You be the judge.
Ever since we've been back, I've learned a lot about civilization. And I've learned a lot about who our friends really are.
Yes, judging by our various experiences, we've had lessons in lust, greed, envy, sloth, anger, gluttony, and pride. The same seven deadly sins that have always plagued mankind.
You know, it's funny, Professor. We never had those problems back on the island.
Well, that's because we learned how to live with each other.
You sinners, drop everything. Let that harmony ring up to heaven and sing. Sing, you sinners.
Hey, thanks for listening to our show on the seven deadly sins this week. Our production staff at NPR includes Jeff Rogers, Brent Bachman, Megan Kane, Neva Grant, and Chris Benderev, with help from Daniel Shukin. Barton Girdwood is our intern. In the front office, Eric Newsom and Portia Robertson-Migas. Our partners at TED are Chris Anderson, June Cohen, Darren Triff, and Janet Lee. I'm Guy Raz, and you've been listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR.